Hey everybody, I'm your girl Sister Goose, and I have here with me my lovely mother, who is my co-host
Sugar Mama.
And Mom, today you know what I am.
He's excited.
Yes, I am. I'm excited because we have a lovely woman with us,
yes,
who I think have wonderful wisdom to share with everyone.
Yes.
And I cannot wait for us to get down to the interview.
All
so
right.
Everyone, without further ado, please help me snap and welcome RJ Voice. Hey, RJ.
Hey, RJ.
Hey, how you doing? How's it, Buffy?
Hey.
Good. Thank you for coming to the show with us today.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Yes. So can you let everyone know the title of your book and what it's about?
Yes, titled The Unexpected. And it's about a young Spanish instructor who has some romantic involvement with the director and later known the owner of that music set. So there are some unexpected things that happen in her life once she meets him.
Okay. So it's a little romance. And I love how you say there's other things in it than just the romance.
Yeah.
Some unexpected things. She ain't sharing with us. She said, you got to read it to find out what it is. Okay, we get it, RJ. We get it.
They can get the book, so they got to read it.
Read it if you want to know what's unexpected, everyone.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
What we're going to know, because we're going to read it.
Right? We're going to read it. So, can you tell us what made you write this kind of book? Because you could have wrote about anything, but what drew you to write this story?
Basically, it's just something that happened in individuals' lives, and particularly a lot of women. Literally unexpected. You don't intend for certain things to happen. Maybe not in your frontal lobe, but your subconscious may, but you don't really realize it.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of things trigger down from the choices that we make, whether they're good choices or not so favorable.
Right.
So, just some of the things that I have seen and see is what caused me to write this story.
Okay, I love that. So she says, see, that's what I love about Arthur's, about my crew, because, you know, I'm an Arthur, too. And I love how we can take something that we see for only 5 minutes, or however long it may be, and make it into a book. That's a wonderful gift.
Yeah. Go. Is that?
Go ahead with your bad self, RJ. Go ahead, girl. So, what do you hope people take away after they read your book? What do you hope they take from it?
What I would hope that people would take away, I do know they're going to see different things, and that's awesome because everybody is so, their perspective is different, which is okay. But my hope is that no matter what decision that you make or have made, or anyone that came before you have made, either grandma, grandpa, great grandma, mama, whoever it is, that it can turn out to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't always have to be bad. It may start off bad. You know, we make choices because that's what we do.
Yeah.
But it, even though some curses are generational, it doesn't have to remain that way. We can make, somebody can make a different choice than we do.
Right.
And I love that she said, you know, so you made a little bit of generational of showing how some things, you know, can be passed down. But we can break that cycle, y'all.
Yeah, true.
You know, like you said, it don't have to stay that way. We can change things.
Yes.
I'm a prime example of that.
You are, tell her.
Because my mother, she got pregnant as a teenager in high school. What grade was it, Mom?
10th.
10th grade.
Uh-huh.
And her dream was when she had us, she kept praying, Lord, don't let them, you know, get pregnant in school, because that ran in our family. Let them finish high school without a baby. Let them get their diploma and, you know, figure out what they want to do with their life. Don't let them have a kid young. And we broke the cycle. Yeah. Me and my sister did not have a baby when we was young.
So, oh, wow.
My mom did a good job of praying over us and leading us. So, just like you said, something that might have started off bad for her at first in her life, it turned out to be good because she used the bed to teach her girls that they can do something different.
Whoa, hold it, hold it, hold it. Her being born was not nothing bad.
No.
Just a mistake. Right. You know.
But I'm saying you had to struggle.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And I'm saying it was a struggling stuff at first, but you got a reward at the end.
Yes, I did.
Because you broke the cycle with your girls.
Yes, I did.
So.
Right. Yeah, and that, you know, that happens with all of us. Whatever the decision is, you know. We make but the outcome of the generational outcome is that it's okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
And you know, continue with that thought process. Usually it is.
Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So I'm about to drop y'all with some wisdom because I told RJ I believe she's a woman of wisdom. And when I say wisdom, I'm explaining to people. Wisdom is not something that you learn from the books. You know, it's something you learn in life. It's something you see different than other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to pass it, you know, on to other people to see. You know, open up their eyes and be open and see it different.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you please explain to them, because she blew my mind with this one. Can you explain to them what you mean whenever you talk about people of color?
Oh, yeah. Well, in the characters in the book is people of color, and it's not just black people.
Mm-hmm.
You have people that are Latino, you have Hispanic, you have Indian, anybody with a melanin in their skin or is considered I consider it people of color. If you're of European nature, then of course you're not people of color. And it's nothing against them. That's not me. So I write, again, what I see and what I've seen as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So, I intended to put people of color in this book because I wanted others to look at people of color in a different light than the stereotype of not having any money, not being intelligent, not lazy, that sort of thing. These characters, although they have situations that they went through, which everyone does, life situations, they are not lazy. They are educated. They are very smart and very monetarily wealthy. And all of that was done on purpose.
Yes. And I really do thank you for making your book portray that. Because as you said, that's a stereotype that they put on us. When the real deal is, we're the most hardworking women out there. Like, when we are very determined for something, we make a way out of no way.
We're gonna get it done.
That's what I always like to say about us colored women. We know how to make a way out of no way. So don't try to put us down like we're at the bottom of the barrel. Honey, we made the pot that everybody else is eating right now. Okay? Ain't no bottom of the barrel for us.
Exactly. But we do. We've always worked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand where that, who came up with that as like, who came up with that? We have always worked.
Lazy my foot.
Having a baby out there and still working.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We be doing 2 5 jobs at the same daggone time. Okay? Lazy my foot. We don't know lazy people.
Yeah.
Yeah. There have been days, I'm telling you what, my girls were little, I went to work sick. Halfway, 1 foot and whatever, I still went to work.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta go. Ain't who else gonna do it for me?
Exactly. Anybody else gonna pay the bills? So, Can you let us know how you got into writing? Like, what made you start writing? When did you first start?
I was between the ages, I'm going to say 7 and 9. Maybe 8, 9, somewhere in the age range. And I came from a home of domestic violence. I grew up in a home of domestic violence. So I didn't know how to express to my father in tears or crying to stop abusing my mother's physically and also mentally. So, you know, with all of the coming in late at night, and we terrified because you don't know what he's going to do. He's been drinking and all the knocking her on the floor and trying to choke her. You know, that's a lot for a girl's eyes to see. So I could not express myself to say what I wanted to say to him. So the pen was my was something that I grabbed to hold on to be able to express. And I created characters throughout that just from being afraid, sitting in a corner in a bedroom writing about what's going on while it's going on. Literally. While it is going on. So, and terrified. 911 in my time? No, he might come after me. You know what I mean? I didn't want him to hurt me or anyone else in my family. So I was petrified. So that was a way that I released some of the fear. And to release expression of how I felt, and didn't know that I, you know, had that gift to create stories or create people or create anything on the page without even knowing the name of a plot or character, not knowing any of that. I was born in the ghetto. So education wasn't offered to me like they're doing now. They're doing some wonderful things now. But I didn't have those opportunities. So I had to use what was within me, and I didn't even know that that was within me. I just started doing it out of a bad place. I'm glad that that I did, because this is where I'm at now, but unfortunately it came from that place. But again, fortunately it did. So again, unexpected.
Yes, unexpected. You're right. Good. And I'm so glad you shared your story about that, of how you wrote and where it came from, because there are so many women out there who had that same story as you. Who had to let their emotions or their feelings out, or things they seen and couldn't do anything, and they had to write it down and let it out, to let that fear, like you said, out, or to let that pain out, or the suffering that they're feeling out. So I commend you for sharing your story. So can we give her a snap for that, Mom? Give her a snap.
Absolutely. It's just, you know, it's something that when I'm at generational outcome, I repeated the same thing. You would think, oh, I see this, and at one point in my life, growing up, I'm not doing this. And, you know, you end up doing similar things to what my mother did in that aspect. You know, there were some great things about her that I picked up, but in that aspect, repeated some of those things. And it was, you know, again, I went to God and the pen. That's what I had.
I understand. And you know what? And see, mine's is opposite, because yours is that, but mine's was, I would write down things I wish I could do. So, for example, if I was in your situation, I would write things I wish I could do to them. Like, if I wish I could beat them up or something, I would make myself do that in the story. I was that type of person. Or if I wish, you know, I had powers out of nowhere to come and to do stuff. That's how I did mine. But that's what I love about authors. That's what I love about us being writers. How we can do something like that. And I'm sure that when people read your stuff, even the characters that you made up and everything, I know I put my emotions in my work, and I'm sure you do too, that they're going to feel what you're giving them as they read that story. And so I tell people, when you read the unexpected, please read with an open mind, an open heart. Reflect on yourself. Right. Let it be open enough to let you look at yourself and let it heal you too.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Arda. Yeah. You was trying to say something.
Yeah, no, it's just some unexpected things in there. And, you know, this is for those, like you said, with an open mind to read it, or for adults.
Yeah.
Real life situations.
Mm-hmm. And them be the best books, though. The real life situations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want nothing fake. I want the realness. I do. I want the realness. So be real with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, oh, wow, you know, they still go through this, and you still, she is still have this and have gone through this. Absolutely. Absolutely. You can still make it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So, man, another snack.
Yeah.
Give her another snack.
Gotta give it to
that's what I mean. The woman of wisdom. She don't even be knowing she dropping wisdom when she's dropping the wisdom.
I call them nuggets.
I know. She gave us a little nugget of wisdom. Mm-hmm. We thank you for that. So, I wanted to ask you too, because I call you that woman of wisdom. I feel like your name has a meaning. Even though you have your name RJ, that voice part, I felt like there was a strong meaning behind it. So can you tell us why you came up with that as your pen name, with RJ voice?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I had no voice. Well, I did, but I didn't think that I had a voice or say in anything that was going on when I was young. So as I grew up, I still carried that, you know, some of the things, like, okay, I said what I said, but what did you really want to say?
Right.
You know, it's to say what you really want to say and how you feel about whatever the situation is or whatever's going on. Yeah. So, that's pretty much how I came up with that voice, because I didn't know that I had one. Mm. And once I realized that I had one through a lot of prayer, through a lot of time alone, searching myself to see who I am and why I'm here, why my children are here, I came up with this voice, where this voice is available. It's not for me. It's for everyone but me.
Right? It's I feel you. I feel you on that.
Here I am with this voice, and I try to use it accordingly. Honestly, I do. I try to use it accordingly.
That's wonderful. It really is. And
yeah.
hearing you say that, you know, it makes me reflect on myself, because I was a little bit of the opposite. I had my voice. I'm a very outspoken person. And I knew how to say stuff respectfully, but as people say, I had no filter. I would say what I needed to say, and I stood by what I said, and nothing could chop me. I had that confidence, you know what I'm saying?
But
something took my voice. There was a moment in my life where I lost it. And then becoming a mother, and then having to take care of my mother as she was getting sicker, and then being that, you know, wife, because we ain't on paper yet, but I'm basically his wife. That's what I am, his wife. And taking care of home and family, and I just felt like that's all I was. The mother and the daughter and the wife. And that started to make me lose my voice upon other things that was happening. And I just felt like life itself robbed my voice. I was so broken because I knew I lost it. I think it's even worse when you know you had it and you lost it. And uh-huh. I'm going to try not to cry as I'm saying it. But then it was just like, how do I get it back? Mm-hmm. And I that was the even tougher part, because it's like, okay, I know I lost it. Now, how do I get it back? And then, you know, I had to do a lot of praying and soul searching and letting God work on me. And he made me realize I had to get it back by doing something for myself. And that's when I started writing my book. When I started writing my book, I started finding my voice. I started feeling complete. I remember I told my mom when I finished my book, I finally feel fulfilled. I never felt fulfilled like this in a long time. And it was so wonderful that when that book finally came out and I finally had it, and as I'm doing this show now, even with Black Girls Inc., I found my voice. This is me finding my voice right here. So I hope that the ones who are listening to us right now, that me and RJ Voice encourage y'all to find your voice if you lost it. That even if you lost it, it's never too late to find it again. You can get it back. And as she said too, if you feel like you don't have a voice, don't listen to what people tell you. Don't listen to what your mind is telling you. You have a voice inside you. You just have to find a way to awaken it. So I just wanted to say, let's give a snap to that.
That was snap to you. Yeah, a lot of people lose or don't even know they have it. Yours and mine was stripped at a young age before I could even realize I had one. So it was stolen from me and stripped from me very, very young. And that fear did that to me.
I gotta tell you my voice story.
Look, it wasn't even supposed to be a story, but tell it, Mom. Tell your story.
Whenever I was in the fourth grade. When I was younger, my mother was very, very strict. I say that, I mean, whooped your butt with a belt, whatever, take your clothes off, you're getting beat like that. So, in my world, I said, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be so quiet, and I won't say not one word, so that I won't get into trouble. And so, some days, I would do that. I would do that, and I could do it real good for a while. And then, sometimes, I would do it for even longer. And then, I got to where I could do it for a whole day. And then, I started doing it longer and longer, until one day, I could turn it on and turn it off. But one day I couldn't turn it back on. Because I couldn't speak. So then one day I was at school one day. And the teacher, she actually called my mom to the school to talk to her. Because they thinking that I can't talk at all. My mom said I could talk, I just didn't want to. So then they actually tested me. Because somebody came to me and was like, I want to say some words to you. And she said, I want you to say them back to me. Doesn't matter how they sound, I just want you to say it. And I tried to, and I couldn't. And I couldn't believe it. So it scared me because I couldn't get the words out. And so for 2 years after that, I had speech class. And I'm telling you something else that I have too. When I had my stroke, I lost my voice then too. I couldn't speak at all. But you know what? I couldn't walk. But I talked to God. And I said, you know what, God? There was a time where I didn't have a voice before. And I'm okay with that. But I need to be able to walk. If I had to choose one of them, I want to walk. But you know what? God said, I had another plan for you. Because that day that I prayed that prayer, Barbie came in the room that day. Now, I had not noticed because I was losing time and different stuff, so I didn't notice that how long it had been and whatever. And Barbie said to me, because I couldn't speak, so I had a paper and pen, and I was writing down. When somebody said something to me, I'll write it down. And Barbie came, she came to the room, and she was crying. And she was talking, and I'm writing down the paper, what's wrong? She wouldn't say nothing. So eventually she said, Mom, I want to hear you say my name because I forgot what your voice sounds like. And I was just like, And I was like, see, God, you ain't right for that. I just said, I want to walk. And so she said that, and I was like, I'm going to. So from that day on, I worked so hard. I was working so hard to speak, and it wouldn't come out. But eventually, I got it back. But it was like, so the first name I said was hers.
See, snap that.
I don't want to speak, I want to walk.
See, said, look,
no, you gotta have both of them.
This is why I called RJ a woman of wisdom. See how she just got us doing all this right here?
Yeah.
I love it, though. I'm not ripping on it. I love that about you, RJ. I really do. I feel like you're one of like my old aunts that I could just chill, talk to. Right. You would give me some wisdom and stuff. And I mean that as a compliment when I say that to you. You just have such a sweet spirit. So I encourage you, you know, keep going. Keep doing you, RJ, because you're doing it, girl.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you. Much love to you both.
Yes. So can you tell us what else you, what other things you have going on that you would like to share with us?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I have my own brand. It's called Shut Your Mouth Productions. Mm. And out of that brand is, of course, my book sales. There's other books that are coming. Mm. Short stories and poetry. I'm a published poet. The poetry editor for a journal, Black Force Review journal. So, out of my own brand, I will be selling mugs as of right now and t-shirts with the bow on it, and of course, the book as of right now.
That's what's up, RJ.
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook, social media, and Instagram. R.J.PYUS.
Okay. And we're going to make sure we have her say that again at the end of the show if y'all didn't catch it. Because we want to know. That's what's up, RJ. You're a woman of many hats. You dipping in all the genres of the writing and.
I'm gonna get a little sneak peek to to Black Girls Inc. We about to have us a t-shirt too. Yeah. And a cup too.
Mm-hmm. Look at you telling information. Look at her.
Put a little nugget out there from, you know, just for a second.
She can't hold nothing, RJ. Oh my goodness.
So we have our show, we're gonna wear the t-shirt. So you'll see
it. And look, so one day I'm going to buy me a shirt from RJ so we can wear it. Okay. We're going to support you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Yes. We're all about sisterhood here. Yeah. You know, we want to support each other. You know, absolutely. So I will definitely make sure we do that. So one day, be on the lookout. We're going to be wearing RJ's shirt on our YouTube channel and when we start Black Girls Inc.
We're going to have our t-shirt on too. And our cup, too. You're going to have cup, too.
So, you know what it's time for, Mom. Let me get it for all you. Because I know you're excited.
Yeah,
there you go.
Tea time.
Tea time is the moment where we either take the author's title or a phrase they use in their book or things about their character, and we make up a topic where we freely and openly talk about it. So, RJ Voice, are you ready to do that with us, Mel?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I am.
All right, let's get to
Tea time.
The tea time question of the day is, what's something unexpected that happened to you in your life that changed you? Again, what is something unexpected that happened to you in your life that changed you or your life? Either one. Ooh, you want to go first, Sugar Mama? Always likes to go first, RJ. Go ahead, Mom.
Now I'm trying to get through this one because this one was a big one. Big, 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 big for me. My mother, she passed away. Mm-hmm. She had colon cancer. But she didn't die from that. She died from complications of having colon cancer. But I helped take care of her. And what happened was that I spent the night with her in the hospital because she was getting worse. So that night, I spent the night with her, and my sister came early that morning. My mom came to my sister in a dream. I said that Karen's by herself. Go there. And so me and my sister was there, and we were holding my mom's hand. My mom, she was in a frozen state. My mom looked up, turned her head, and looked at both of us and closed her eyes. She died. So I was at that point, that thing changed my life forever. But I was there when she took her last breath. I was there when she closed her eyes. And it was something that happened that nobody planned, but I was there to see it happen.
And she went to your sister in a dream.
And I'll never forget it. That's what happened. I was in the room. And it's crazy because when it happened, we should have waited a minute, but we panicked. We were calling the doctors and nurses. And the nurses, they came in and checked her. She was do not resuscitate. So they just turned around and said, I'm sorry for your loss. And it was just, and we're screaming, but we're like, we know that's what happened, but I don't know why you say you know it's coming, but it's still when it happens, it just stings. But it was just like, wow, we were standing right there. Mm. Right there.
That was deep. That was unexpected.
It was. She just...
Okay.
Wow.
So, RJ, did you want to go next, or you want me to go first?
Oh, it doesn't matter. You can go. I can go. It doesn't matter.
Okay. All right, I'll go, because we're going to let the Lady of Wisdom go after us. You know that's your nickname here now, right? We call you Lady of Wisdom. All right. So, my moment is when I was pregnant with my daughter. She was my first child. Mm. I was so excited, okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody's excited about their first child. Now, we already knew, because I'm a plus-size woman, they told me that I would probably have to get a C-section because I probably wouldn't be able to push my daughter through. Mm-hmm. So we already had that plan. They explained it to me how it go, and I'm like, well, I have family members who have C-sections all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I wasn't that worried because it was something, you know, that you just think is just a everyday thing that happened.
Right.
So whenever it was time to have my daughter after 10 hours in labor at the hospital, because it was 3 days at home, they told me, you know, we got to do a C-section. Now, I was nervous, but like I said, I wasn't that nervous because C-section is normal. That's what they reminded me. Right. A C-section is normal. We do this 50 million times a day. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Had the C-section. Mm. And then, now before I had the C-section, I was feeling sick too. But, you know, after they got the baby out, I was feeling okay. And before, when I went home that first day, and I was not feeling right, RJ. I was sick. But they told me that that's something that's normal that happened after a C-section, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm bypassing it. Okay, it's normal. Then the next day, I'm feeling hot and I'm feeling sick. But it was springtime. It was going into summer. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm just hot because I had the baby. My hormones is all over the place. I'm all right. And I didn't feel well still. So I ignored it. The third day, I felt really sick. And I remember calling my mom and my sister. They was at the store. And they said, well, we'll be home in a minute. We'll see you. So I called the ambulance because I said I didn't feel good. And I felt like some liquid from my scar. The ambulance came. The ambulance checked me. They said I was fine. It was my stitches falling off. It was normal. Okay. So I sat there in a chair for 2 hours as I waited for my mom and my sister to come back. When they came back, I stood up and it sounded like a gallon of milk spilled on the floor because I had an infection. I had an infection for the first 3 days I was home and I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. I thought I was fine. I thought I was okay. And when I say I had an infection, I'm talking about a life-threatening infection. When the doctor comes and tell you we never did this before, never seen this before, and you ask them, well, what is your plan, and they tell you we don't know. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And the infection was so bad that I never knew a black person's stomach can turn red like a crayon. My stomach was red from my belly button down like a crayon, and it mushed like some goo. It was like gooey. Every time you touch it, it just sunk down like you was playing
but
with
it. It was sand. Like
and
sand.
They had to cut it off.
All the skin.
They cut it off and remind you when this happened. I only been home for 3 days, people.
Yes.
So I couldn't see my baby for 2 weeks because the infection was going through my whole body. And then my daughter wouldn't take the breast milk when I tried to feed her at home. And thank I'm God. So glad she didn't, because it turned out she didn't take it because I had the infection in my breast milk. So I would have been feeding my baby infection milk.
Right. She would have died.
So long story short, I had to get surgery for a year. I didn't do 20 surgeries. They had to cut it off. And then I wasn't sewn back up. I had to heal from the inside out. So he was able to put your forearm inside my belly.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
and it looked like a sharp bit, a chunk off of it.
No, it looked like the night of the zombie. The Walking Dead, that's what it looked like. So, I was there when it first got done, The Walking Dead.
Yeah, my mom, it was a very terrible experience. But my point is, I expected to have a wonderful experience after I had my first child. And it was a nightmare for me. And I had to depend on other people to help me take care of my baby. And can you imagine when you've been gone for 3 months and you come home and your husband know the baby's crying and you don't, and you're the mom? That was terrible for me. Where my husband had to tell me, she's not hungry. She needs to go to sleep. That's her sleepy cry. And I'm mad. And it's not his fault. But I'm mad because I'm like, I'm the mom. I'm supposed to be telling you what the cry is. Not you telling me. So I'm upset. It was a very just messed up experience. So it was good and it was bad.
Yes.
And the funny thing that happened is after I finally healed up, I got pregnant with another baby. And the good thing that happened was the doctor who did my surgery with my daughter and helped me up, he was the team leader for my second pregnancy, and everything went well the second time.
And then tell her when you went back to the doctor's.
And when I went back, there was a woman there who had a thing like me, and she said, yeah, the doctor did this because they said they had a woman who had a bad infection and this and that. So for plus size women, they do the C-section from the breast down instead of under the belly. And I'm laughing, RJ, because the woman's
she's
me.
The person you talk about her.
She's talking about me. I'm the woman they learned that on.
Wow.
She don't even know it. So that was my unexpected story. So be careful when y'all get C-sections.
But hold on.
Listen to your body.
Another thing, too, is that when she had her baby, remember she said somebody else had to take care of her baby. Now, me and her sister took care of the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So it helped her. We helped her with her baby because she wasn't here, but it helped us do something while she was gone. So me and her sister did it, the baby, while she was gone.
Yeah.
So she it actually learned. My oldest daughter learned on her baby.
Yeah, because she got pregnant the year after. So she learned how to take care of a baby through my baby.
Yeah.
But it was rough.
Yeah.
And that's my story, RJ, of my unexpected moment.
Wow.
The Hall family be having some deep situations over here.
Yeah, we do.
I said, you know, my oldest daughter, she said that, you know, we don't give our family is nothing comes easy for the Hall.
Yeah, that's her saying. Nothing comes easy for the Hall women.
Nothing comes easy.
Yeah. But we gonna let RJ share hers. Sorry, RJ. She might be like, dang, they done hit me. Yeah. And they gonna say it's my turn.
Yeah.
That is something.
It was.
But for me, I'm gonna be honest with you. The book speaks for itself. Although that my characters are fictional, there's a lot of twists and turns in it. And for me, there's a lot of twists and turns in my life. So there's so many things that were unexpected.
Yeah.
In the beginning, where I actually said, I decided to serve God. I said, let me serve Christ and see what this is about. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm hearing He's good. I'm hearing the blood works. I'm hearing all of this. But let me see. Let me try it and see. Right. And ever since then, I have been served unexpected things.
Okay.
And I do mean what I mean. Good and bad. Mm-hmm. To the all the way to where this particular manuscript has taken me across the country. That was clearly unexpected.
Okay.
Clearly unexpected. To be able to help teach black writers in prayer.
Okay.
It was a book. So there were some other things that were crazy. I mean, I almost lost my mind and did it.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very close. I mean, very, very close.
I understand.
Depression, very, very heavy. Very heavy depression.
Yeah.
Those type of things. After I had children back to back, they were a blessing. They are a blessing, still are. But I just didn't expect that to have them like
right,
that.
Right.
So it's such a long amount of twists and turns that happen, unexpected things that happen in my life. We'll be on here for a very long time. You have to get that book.
Yeah.
You just have to get the book to get an understanding. Okay, even though this is not her, this particular thing may not be her, but I see where she's the author is coming from with all of these things. You can reach me at r.j.tyus on Instagram, on Facebook. If you would like to purchase it, it's $15 plus shipping, so that's a total of $19 for the book. Again, just your unexpected things. I didn't think I would be sitting here talking to you beautiful ladies.
Neither did we.
I'm sorry, neither did we, girl.
I told you for a person who didn't speak. Days at a time, here I was. Here I am.
Yeah. Unexpected. I'm so glad that I met you. It's an awesome thing. It's wonderful. So, just crazy stuff in on my life. As I already mentioned earlier, I grew up in a domestic violence home. Mm-hmm. Experienced abuse, verbal abuse myself. You know, all of these horrid things that a lot of us, you know, go through. A lot of us, some do not, but a lot of us do. Just life situations, surgeries back to back. I've had a few surgeries on my breast. I've had surgery removing, what you call them, fibroids a few times. And then hysterectomies. And then breasts. Just crazy. Don't know what to do. Decide, okay, I'm going to serve God, and then I'm going to serve, go back to school. Went to school, didn't know that it would take me where it is. And I'm glad. So it's an amalgam of things that that are unexpected in my life. We'll be here forever.
That's wonderful.
That is.
Go ahead. And you know what, RJ? Snap to all of us still being here.
Yeah.
Even after the unexpected. We still here, ladies.
We still here.
Absolutely. I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad to have met you guys. It is a pleasure.
Yes.
And I thank you for having me, and much love to you.
Oh, same to you. So see, y'all, we do tea time.
Yeah.
So we can just give you a taste of how we came up with the topic. Just from her title alone.
So you got to get the book,
especially after what you heard her say during tea time.
The unexpected.
She said, look, if you want to know something about my unexpected,
turns,
right?
You
got to get the book. I can't wait to read this book, Mom, because I need to know this unexpected Okay? So, y'all need to read and support our girl, RJ Voice. RJ, please remind everyone where they can follow you at. Where they can go purchase your book. Go ahead, girl. It's your time to shine. Share your info.
Again, I'm on Facebook and Instagram under r.j.tyus. Mm-hmm. My name is RJ Voice, but under the social media platform, again, r.j.tyus. It should pop up and you should see a pin, which you should see on the social media platform. Again, the book is $15 plus shipping. That's a total of $19. And you receive some nice little things that I put in there for purchasing the book. And you can pay by, right now, three ways. Either by Cash App, PayPal, or Zelle, if you have that. Those are the three ways at the moment.
Okay.
That you eventually a website will be up pretty soon.
Okay.
It is on Amazon, but you would get it quicker if you get it through me.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, I'll make sure in 2 weeks when I get my check, I'm going to use PayPal and get it through you. So be ready for me to hit you up for that link, because I'm going to get it.
Okay.
Yeah, y'all heard me. I said I'm going to get it. I said it on the station. I'm going to get it. Oh, well, Sister Goose like to read everybody's books who come up on here.
Yeah.
So let's give her a snack. Congratulations. Because RJ, thank guess what, girl?
Thank you.
Because what this means today is, tell her what it means, Mom.
You're a part of the Black Girls Inc. family.
Yes, you are a Black Girls Inc. member.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Thank you. Yay.
Yes. So what that means is this will not be the last time we hear from RJ. Yes. You are welcome to come back on the show anytime. Mm-hmm. As I said, we will be going to YouTube soon, so we would love to have you for that, too. And you said you do poetry, so if you ever want to come and do a short story or poetry, you are welcome to come and share that with us and everyone else.
Yes.
And so y'all will be hearing from RJ again. This will not be the last time.
Aw, thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. So everyone, please go out and support our girl and read RJ's voice book, The Unexpected. Because I think The Unexpected for you is you're going to love it. Mm-hmm. How about that?
So,
I'm your girl, Sister Goose.
And I'm Sugar Mama.
And we are
Black Girls Inc.
Snap you later.